Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Rob.
Kevin, how did you celebrate your New Year? Happy New Decade, by the way, too, I should say.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. 2020. That was a very quiet evening. My wife's mother is in town. She's staying with us. And we were ready to call it in by about 10 p.m. Crawford fell asleep, woke up, and then we couldn't wait for it to get to be midnight so we could all go to sleep, to be honest. I can't believe how pathetic that – not pathetic. I shouldn't say that, but how incredibly adult and quiet it seems.
The older you get, it's not so fun, is it?
Well, and in that, it is fun. It's just have a relaxing, quiet night. That was everything, Rob.
I literally just wore sweats all day.
Now, did you have any traditions? Did you do anything? Did you have it with your family? Count it down?
Yes, we watched, because I'm in California still. We watched the ball drop East Coast time, which is – so when it dropped, which would be 9 o'clock California time, my family was like, Happy New Year, and then everyone went to bed. So – except my brother – no, my brother
– I love that rule.
I was like, this is actually a really smart idea. My brother and I, though, we stayed up to watch Impractical Jokers on YouTube, which is one of my favorite TV shows of all time, Impractical Jokers. Yeah.
If I can get past the awkwardness of it, will you explain to our listeners what the premise of Impractical Jokers is?
It's four lifelong friends who compete in battles. And what the idea is like, okay, so Kevin, you have to go up to a stranger and take food off their plate. And how many items of food can you take off their plate before they try to stop you?
All right. Oh my God.
Then I'll try it. And, you know, whoever's the loser has to get a punishment. So it's one of my favorite things of all time. It's very bro-y, and I like that. No shame.
Okay.
There's Mer, Sal, Q, and Brian.
Okay, so it always is those four people always having to make fools of themselves.
Mer, Sal, Q, and no, not Brian. Sorry. This is going to drive me crazy because I love this show.
I know.
There's the guy who – never mind. Sorry. I like it.
That's okay.
I'll be honest with you. Mer is my favorite. And everyone else, I'm sure they're all lovely, but Mur is my absolute favorite. Sal. Did I say Sal? I think I said Sal.
Yes.
Sure. I don't know. Now it's going to drive me crazy. So anyway, that's what we did. And I think we should do an Impractical Joker. We should do that. It should be you, me, Robbie Rizal, and Leroy Reams.
And what do? We run around New York City and
yes, like who can go up to – yes, yes.
Who, I had to sing like the cast recording of like Chess in front of somebody to see how long it takes them before they want to call cops.
Yeah, before they – how many songs from Chess can we sing before somebody calls the cops on us?
All right.
I kind of think this is a genius idea. So, hey, nobody steal it. You hear me? Nobody steal this idea.
You heard it here first.
This is absolutely brilliant. Wait, oh no, Joe. It's Q, Brian, James, Joe, and Sal. Those are the four. Sorry, Joe Gatto, I forgot your name, but I think you're wonderful. But yeah, I think we could do that. Don't you think that'd be a fun idea?
Yeah, it's an idea.
Go to a box office and see like how long it'll take before they throw us off the line.
Oh, TKTS line. That'd be a great place for it.
Oh, they did a TKTS line, which was whoever could cut in front of everybody and get tickets before everyone else in line. One, and only one of them was able to do it. And he got tickets to the Lion King. So
it's that kind of humor, I see. You had a nice evening watching that.
That's yes. Now, I feel like I've asked you this last year. I'm going to ask you again. Do you set any New Year's resolutions for yourself?
I have had a couple. You know, I like it. I'm a person who likes a starting point, so you know, it being a new year, new decade, all that. I definitely have made a couple, and it including trying to be more creative, trying to write a little bit more, trying to do more things like that.
Pulling out some that classic artist's way again, are we?
Dusting off the old artist's way.
Remember,
exactly,
creating yourself is a creation.
Just breathe first and list 10 things you would rather be doing right now. Yeah.
I've never read the book. I shouldn't be making fun. I'm sure it's wonderful. I just know in college, everyone had a little copy of it. And,
someone just recently told me how effective it was in their life. So, hey, that's great.
Nine things you eat for breakfast to make yourself a better artist. Sorry, my mic went out. It's the author of The Artist Way getting angry at me. Okay, cool. So that sounds like fun. So you have some resolutions. That's wonderful.
Yeah, what about you?
I just, you know what? Every day I try to remind myself to be a better person. And if I can get through that and to be more honest. So I've never really liked you. And that's the first step.
Wow.
First step
okay. Wow. Okay.
Can you imagine?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Can you imagine? I'm just going to be honest with people. No, I don't think that dress looks good on you. I don't think you look pretty today. Can you imagine?
No.
There are people like that. You've met people that are like dreadfully honest, and you're like, you know, a white lie every once in a while will not hurt you. Find a way of flipping it. Find something to compliment. Yeah. I try to be a good person. That's my resolution, to be a good person. And I think also to like listen to more musicals that were written after 1990 would be great.
Yes. Yes. No shortage of those.
I'm behind.
I make a playlist and I try to get to stuff, but it's just like – sometimes I just want the old comfort food, you know?
It's so funny. You know what came up today while I was driving? I had my thing on shuffle and a Weekend in the Country, but not the OBC, my friend, the RC, my friend, the revival cast. So I got to hear you.
Oh.
It was so fun. I was like, I can hear Kevin.
Twice as upset.
There he goes. I just got that for free, folks. That was good. If you could play any other role in A Little Night Music besides the role you played, who would it be?
Oh, gosh.
At this current age. Although you could still play Henrik.
no.
I think you look young enough.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Petra? God. I already broke my lying rule.
See, you little.
No, but you actually, God, no, I you could. It. You could play. I think you look young enough to still play Henrik.
No,
at the Muni.
The Muni folks.
I really think you could still get away with it. Okay, but I'm sorry. But you wanted to play Petra?
Sure. Yeah. That you have to sing one song. You get to like be sexy and like, you know, stir everything up in the show, and then like, you know, have a couple solo lines and a Weekend in the Country. Bada bing, bada bing. Do your crossword puzzle. It's great.
I think that's actually the breakdown. That was literally verbatim the breakdown.
Exactly. Just, you know, stack them up, do your puzzle.
I would want to be, I don't look like him, but I want to be Count Carl Magnus.
Oh, I'd love to see your Carl Magnus.
He'd be a little stuffy. It'd be a little bit different.
I hope he's a little.
But if they won't let me play Carl Magnus, I just want to do that scene with Frederick and Desiree at the end where she thinks he's going to say, I'm going to stay with you. And then he's like, but when I'm not with you, because I think that's one of the best written scenes in musical theater. I really do. I think that scene is brilliant. And I want to say something very quickly.
Okay.
I think Catherine Zeta-Jones got a really bum rap because everyone said her Tony Awards performance wasn't good. And everyone was like, oh, she wasn't good in the show because they just saw the Tony Awards performance. I saw her in it. She was fantastic. She was absolutely fantastic.
She was. That Tony Awards performance was not her best, but when all the voters were coming, she was a dynamic performance. It was unreal. She was really special.
I thought she was fantastic. I really do. So folks, don't judge her off that Tony Awards performance because I actually didn't think the Tony Awards performance was that bad at all. I thought she was marvelous. I thought she was an absolutely marvelous Desiree. So let the record show. I'm so angry. I'm pointing my finger at Kevin. Let the record show that I thought she was an absolutely marvelous Desiree.
I love that the cast recording is basically the whole show. So you get a lot of scenes and you really get a sense of the entire piece.
Yes.
I wish that we had something like that for the original cast recording, you know, because there's just so much more music that I never even knew existed until I did it. So
Now, I think you had said that they were trying to bring Lauren Bacall. And was it Deborah Deborah Messing in?
Yeah, there was all these rumors because we had our closing notice up before Bernadette and Stritch were announced. So we had a closing notice. We had the meeting, you know, and that said we're not going to, you know, they couldn't find anyone. But until then, Brooke Shields was mentioned. Deborah Messing was mentioned, but she had a new TV show or something. So that was it. And Lauren Bacall. And then what ended up happening was that because she couldn't do Stairs, and that was part of the deal because there was no crossover for certain parts of the set. But she couldn't do Stairs, so I think that was a deal breaker. But she came to see the show twice.
Give her some High Point coffee. She can move around.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool to interact. I mean, just to witness her for, like, even 10 seconds.
Oh, that's –
Give her some High Point coffee.
Thank you.
Well, that's what she said. Hunter said to her, he was like, oh, you know, you came back to the theater. And she looked at him and she was like, my darling, I never leave. Or something.
Oh, my God. Very, like, legendary. Oh, my God.
And I thought, okay, that's exactly what I expect you to say. I never even left.
Please say that she put on her mink and got in the Rolls Royce with the coffee waiting for her, like in the commercial.
Leroy popped his little head around the corner. He's like, are we going, Betty?
Betty, we have reservations at Sardi's. Stop talking to this Ryan Hunter, whatever his name is, and let's just get in the car.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You're a star, Betty. You are a star. Hey, you have a favorite thing?
You know what? I do. Mine's this one's wacky, and it's been on my list for a while. It's a nostalgic one for me, as it came out in the year 1990. It was a TV musical, Rob. And I think we've mentioned it once or twice, but hopefully you guys will figure it out if you ever saw it. If you don't know this era, it is musicals were not huge then, right? Because like Beauty and the Beast hadn't come out yet, Little Mermaid. So like this wasn't a musical per se. There are songs in it. It is an all-star cast made for TV. It was aired on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. And it is – the people in this cast are as such – Shelley Duvall is the star. Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon in it, but not together. Woody Harrelson, Cyndi Lauper, Little Richard, Howie Mandel, Cheech Marin, Katie Sagal, Gary Shandling, Gene Stapleton.
Oh, what? What is this?
Ben Vereen. Oh, and not to forget the Del Rubio triplets, everyone who knows the Pee Wee Herman Halloween special, Christmas special, knows the Del Rubio triplets make it. And of course, Golden Girls. So my favorite thing is the TV movie Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme.
Never heard of this.
For real?
Never.
Oh my goodness. So this came out in 1990. I remember when it came out. It left a very indelible impression on me and my sister. It is a sort of musical film. I mean, there's lots of musical sequences in it, as evidenced from the cast that I mentioned earlier. Everyone sort of sang a bits and pieces. There was an opening number called Hop to It, which is sort of why I made it today, because it's January 1st. And it was like, hop to it, don't delay, hop to it, we're going to make a great day. And it was Shelley Duvall was the star of it, and she's Little Bo Peep. And it's literally in Mother Goose's like land. And Jean Stapleton is the Mother Goose who's been kidnapped. And so her son, I'm serious. So Jean Stapleton, Mother Goose, all in like furs and all of like this like Mother Goose-ish outfit, but sounds like Edith from All in the Family. and she gets kidnapped in the beginning. So her son wakes up and he's kind of a total square. All of the colors of this film are very much of the like 19, what exactly what you'd think 89 would look like, 90. It's like shapes and hot pink and yes. hot blue.
Give me pastels. Give me neon. Like,
seriously, and all these sharp angles and very oversized clothing, and it's so funny, but it's just a weird trippy thing, and it's actually catchy and it's fun and weird because there's so many guest characters in this. Basically, so they got to go on a quest, you know, and through Rhyme Land and all the characters that they meet. So it's like the Willy Wonka, the sequence when they're like in that, you know, the first part with the, you know, the chocolate, you know, river. It's like that kind of world. You get the Del Rubio triplets, as I said, you know, that we love from Golden Girls.
You and the Del Rubio triplets. I'm a little concerned.
I'm telling you, it's like three times a year I get to see them. It's very exciting. But anyway, so it's just a fun, silly little wacky film. I think that the guest people in it, like Ben Vereen and ZZ Top, and just Whoa. So many. It's just a very funky, weird film, and you can watch it on YouTube for free. Just go to YouTube and look up Mother Goose Rockin', like ROCKIN, Rhyme, and you just you know, have a cocktail and watch it. It's pretty fun, and it's some great, you know, it's just silly, and yeah, so I would say check that out. That's my favorite thing this week.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic. I have never seen this. I have never heard of this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like all that, like Howie Mandel is Humpty Dumpty, and Cheech Marin is the carnival barker, and
I think you're lying.
ZZ Top or Three Men in a Tub.
What? Oh, this is genius. This is genius. No, I've never seen this. Right. Tell me again what it's called.
It's called Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme.
Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme.
Rock and Rhyme. Oh. I did it wrong. Rock and then N and then rhyme. It doesn't matter.
Oh, because it's like hip.
It's like 1990.
It's like salt and pepper.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
That's hey. Are they still popular?
They were just on one of the New Year's shows last night, actually. They were on, I forget which one. I think the ABC one, maybe. I was slipping between that and CNN with the clown show that was Anderson and Andrew
Cohen. Did you see the one of the anchor people who kept coming out as a different character in musicals?
It was like, so weird.
Like every 20 minutes?
Yes, and they had like no schedule. I would flip it because there'd be an interview, and I'm like, I don't need to watch this interview. 10 minutes would go by, I'd come back. They're still in the interview. It's crazy.
I think he showed up as Hamilton. He showed up as Rum Tum Tugger. Have you seen Cats yet?
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said, have you seen Cats yet?
No, I need to see that in the theater. I need the theatrical. I gotta hurry up. I just haven't had the chance to get away. Did you see it?
I gotta see it. No, I have not. All I know is it's like at every movie theater that plays it is like empty. They lost like $100 million in the first weekend.
I saw people like, you know, sending out pictures of their like theater and it. Yeah.
This is my biggest pet peeve, but I'm going to actually do it. My biggest pet peeve is when people judge something they have not seen. So I've not seen this, but let me ask, how did it get this far? Like, because as soon as they posted a trailer, everyone just turned against it. So my question is didn't anybody in the studio like see this and go, this is going to be a problem. Like, I think this might not go over so well, folks.
Shrug. I don't know, because you might say that the musical itself is a bit of an anomaly.
Yes.
One might say. Just the idea of it all and how it actually worked and that it actually made all that money. And,
I like the stage version of Cats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's an experience for sure.
The first time I ever saw Cats was the day after the 2016 presidential election.
Oh, wow.
It was the most bizarre thing of my life because at the end, the woman who played Grisabella, like, stepped forward and made this, like, impassioned speech about, you know, we have to unite as a country and we need to do better and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And everyone was, like, behind her crying because they were, it was, like, their first performance after Trump had won. And I was like, this is all very nice except for the fact you're all dressed as cats. You're dressed as cats. Yeah. Like, come on.
Your makeup's running.
Your makeup is running. And, like, Rum Tum Tugger is comforting Scumple Sheezer or whatever their names are. And it was something. So anyway, I'm curious to see, you know, Cats in its purest form, which will be the cinema.
I enjoy that memory, though. Thank you for that, Rob.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hey, did you hear what you said?
What?
I enjoyed that memory.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You see, he's so brilliant, folks. He didn't even know.
It's the dad brain in
the
me.
The dad brain. Oh, this is your dad joke. I love it. I'm so happy you're going to do dad jokes.
Yep. Thank you.
So,
what's your favorite thing?
Oh, man. Okay. So my favorite thing, folks, is I want to start this year off right. This is, you know, I love public access.
I do.
Oh, when the kids get married, we're going to. So I love public access, folks, almost as much as I love the American musical theater, not the British musical theater. Who needs to see Charlie Girl? The American musical theater.
Great songs in Charlie Girl.
I know.
Great
sing one.
Someone just had the sheet music for a really dun 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 dun.
Oh, what's that? Like the Lavender Girls Hotel or something? One of those.
That's what it is. That's what love is. Yeah, it's a great song.
Oh, that was beautiful, Precious.
Yeah, quiet.
So I liked it. I told you. I think it sounded great. Okay, so folks, mine is there was a television show. In New York in the 1980s, and the show was called Beyond Vaudeville. Once again, the show was called Beyond Vaudeville, and it was hosted by this NYU student named Rich Brown, who created a persona named Frank Hope. And Frank Hope was this very nervous television show host who was always interviewing people like 70 and above. And he had a co-host named David Green, who never spoke and just would throw things and yell. And it was so obviously like avant-garde. It was supposed to be like absurdist, but everyone they brought on there was not aware of that. So everyone that was brought on always thought like, oh, this is a legitimate talk show. And they had like Kay Ballard on there and Austin Pendleton on there. And I encourage you all to go back and take a look. It's all posted online, Beyond Vaudeville. Now, Beyond Vaudeville was so successful that MTV picked it up in the 1990s and renamed it Oddville. Do you remember Oddville?
No, I don't, but I did not watch a lot of MTV.
The idea was like in vaudeville, like strange, bizarre acts. That was exactly the point of this. So anyway, the host had a fascination with someone.
Wow, I've never heard of this. This is
okay.
Amazing.
You're going to love it. There's some really good episodes. The host,
I'm looking at the YouTube
Frank
channel,
Hope, had a fascination with somebody, and it was a singer. And that singer is Mr. Robert Goulet. And so, while Robert Goulet was never a guest, one episode was a Beyond Vaudeville tribute to Robert Goulet, where they brought out all of these different panelists, and they talked about all of his records and all of the songs that make Robert Goulet Robert Goulet. And they just posted it a couple of days ago, so Christmas came a little bit late for me. So I would love for all of you to go to YouTube and type in Beyond Vaudeville Robert Goulet. One more time. That's Beyond Vaudeville, Robert Goulet. And it's a celebration of Robert Goulet's wonderful work in the world of popular recordings. And at the end, Frank Hope reveals a painting that he made of Robert Goulet that's kind of genius. And if you like this, make sure you go ahead and take a look at the other stuff that Beyond Vaudeville offers. Just type in Beyond Vaudeville. And you'll see like Kay Ballard's on there. You'll see Austin Pendleton is on there. Al Lewis. It's really fun. It's really, really fun because it's a lot of like older people from the vaudeville era coming on and like redoing their old routines. And it's fun. It's just really avant-garde and bizarre and it'll put a smile on your face. But the one I would love for you all to start with once again is Beyond Vaudeville tribute to Robert Goulet, most especially if you don't want to watch the whole thing, just watch the beginning because they do a slideshow of all of his album covers.
Wow.
And I think next year, Kevin, I'm going to find my 12 favorite poses and reenact them for you, and I'm going to give you a calendar.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Make it sing. I want to hear. I want a different song on each as you flip it, so I can hear your
February you is for lovers. It's also President's Day. That's his.
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah,
that's his new good. Song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, it's lovely.
March, God. Watch all the drunk Irish march for St. Paddy's Day. Yep.
I got to go to dinner. Oh, you know what, though? Hey, sorry to cut off Mr. Goulet, but I just thought of something. I got you a present, and I wonder if we can post it. No, the video of Pam Goldberg. I got a personalized.
Oh, friends.
I sent
oh, friends.
Rob, you know, just as a little postscript of this episode, I sent Rob a holiday present, a Hanukkah/Christmas present. And, you know, there's this thing called Cameo where you can, you know, for a little fee, have a celebrity of sorts send a video of your choosing, and I did that for Rob.
Oh man, it was Pam Goldberg who we talked about last week. First of all, Pam, I think, was a little offended that I said, you know, she looks like Pat Carroll.
I mean there was a moment where her voice caught.
She was very upset. We're gonna have Pam on the show at some point. I'm gonna ask her. I kind of have a feel that she and Pat were up for a lot of the same roles, and that
I
you know,
get the sense of that. Yes, that
and does maybe she work. Just was so sick and tired of being compared to her, which I understand.
I get it. I mean, yeah, Ethel Merman and Mary Martin, they had like a little friendly rivalry, you know. I mean, that makes sense.
Me and Andy Carl, you know, same,
that's right. That's me and Orfe. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then they're like, you and Orfe. Yeah, you and I could have been Paulette and the UPS man, but
I mean,
you know,
it's just fate. Look at it.
They went to it in a different direction.
It's too obvious.
Yeah, two on the nose.
Oh,
but yeah, so Pam Goldberg, thank you, Kevin. Yep. That was one of the best gifts I ever got.
We'll post that. Well, maybe
she was she wished me happy holidays, but was very angry that I compared her to you know, Pat Carroll. Yes. So when we get her on the show, we'll have a long talk about, you know, if their careers have ever crossed each other and if they've ever done like Agnes of God somewhere together.
Oh yeah. We'll get the dish. We'll get the dish.
I look forward to interviewing her. We'll interview her soon. And then pretty soon, don't forget our In Memoriam is coming up.
Yep.
With the wonderful Leroy Reams. He'll be joining us again. And I'm sure he has lots of wonderful stories to tell. He's always sassy and celebratory.
Yeah.
Which is such a great thing.
It'll be fun. I look forward to that.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Have a good week and happy new year. Happy new decade.
Happy new year.
Till next time.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.